countrywide on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by the Irish Farmers Journal, bringing 295,000 readers the latest farming news and the best of rural Ireland weekly.
Good morning and welcome to the programme. This morning, we're getting into the festive spirit. You're going to hear reports from around the country, along with carols and music from past winners of the RTE Lyric FM Choirs for Christmas competition, which were recorded with the Irish Chamber Orchestra, conducted by Desmond Early, last year in UCH Limerick. I do hope you can stay with us between now and 9 o'clock. To get here. So where are we? We're in
Hannigan's Farm.
Hannigan's Farm.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's one of four farms.
Okay. Okay. So it's not you're not just in one place.
Little donkey, little donkey on the dusty road.
Since it opened in 1987, the Irish Donkey Sanctuary here in Liscarroll in County Cork has rescued thousands of donkeys.
So this is kind of the hospital section.
Okay.
And we have another, the visitor section is 2 miles away.
Okay, so this is the hospital here. Section.
Yeah, the whole
it's estimated that there are about 10,000 donkeys in the country, and today the sanctuary is home to 1,000 of them, with many rehomed with guardians across the country.
Are they
docile? They are, or is it very?
They are, yeah, mostly, but there's a few characters.
That's it.
Bells tonight, Bethlehem, Bethlehem.
It is disputed whether or not Mary rode on a donkey all the way from Nazareth to Bethlehem at this time of the year. But what is for certain is that donkeys have been around for thousands of years and originated in Africa and most certainly would have been used for transport in the Middle East over 2,000 years ago.
Brilliant, how are you guys?
How are you?
Good to see you all.
But I've come here to Liscarroll to meet some of the people who run the sanctuary.
My name is Aisling O'Sullivan, I'm the PR officer at the Donkey Sanctuary Ireland. We're working very hard at the moment on supporting donkeys in the community because we have seen over the past number of years that a lot of donkey owners need help and support from us. So our donkey welfare advisors are offering advice and urgent support if it's needed by a donkey owner. So it can be from anything. It can be related to nutrition, in related to housing of donkeys, how to look after hooves. Maybe they're looking for a bit of veterinary advice. anything like that, really. Since the mechanisation of the farm, obviously, donkeys haven't had the same role in agriculture that they would have once had in Ireland. But there is a real love, a real draw still for the donkey in Ireland.
Are donkeys suitable to the climate and to the countryside in Ireland and to the land in this country?
That's actually a really good question, because donkeys are actually native to the Middle East and to Africa. So their hooves actually do not suit this kind of a climate at all. Their hooves are much more suited to an arid environment where they can walk on hard ground. Here in Ireland, because there's a high moisture content in the grass, that can really affect their hooves. And we would always advise any donkey owner that they need to have an area of hard standing for their donkeys because of the kind of climate that we have here, to keep their hooves in good condition and to ensure that they're not out on mucky ground the whole time.
My name is Declan Sexton. I'm head of farms of the Donkey Sanctuary Ireland. Right, we'll move back.
It's great to have them with that close. Maybe over here is a bit better.
I've been working with the charity for the last 9 years. I started as a farm worker groom and progressed up to farm supervisor and up to head of farms 4 years ago.
Is there a lot of work involved in minding the donkeys?
There is, yeah. I mean, when the donkeys come in, a lot of them are malnourished and mistreated. So it all starts with getting their weight back up to a comfortable weight or a proper weight, and then working on donkeys' behaviour. Donkeys come in and they have a fear of people and a fear of being handled and all that. So what we do is we work on the donkeys. It could take years to bring them around, so we work on the donkeys on a regular basis to get them back used to humans and used to being handled again.
What's the life expectancy of a donkey?
Well, sure, it varies, but we have donkeys there. When they get the right care, we have donkeys that can live up to 40, 45 years of age. So I think our oldest donkey on the farm at the moment is 46. So
that's fair going.
Yeah, it is. Sometimes they live out their owners.
Okay, Roisin Dye, a veterinary surgeon at the Donkey Sanctuary. Things that I would see very commonly with foot problems, eye conditions, skin problems, we'd have, I suppose, colic cases, and we perform surgeries in our hospital here also. Then they get regular farrier visits every 8 weeks and routine dental treatments as well. They like dry weather. Yes, they don't really like the Irish winters.
Oh, I love them this time of the year when they have the fluffy coats on.
Ciara Kelly, so I'm Donkey Welfare Advisor for Donkey Sanctuary Ireland, and I'm also a registered veterinary nurse. So my job is basically out on the road. I don't spend a lot of time here in the Donkey Sanctuary, but there's actually 8 of us in covering the entire country, and we're big into...
They're having a bit of fun there, come on.
We provide supportive care to donkeys in the community, and our backgrounds are in animal welfare, and like myself, a veterinary nurse, and then we're trained up by the Donkey Sanctuary to be able to help people understand the needs that donkeys have and how to manage them in the community. If you're thinking of getting a donkey or rehoming a donkey, look into it, do the research, see is it the right thing for you and your family. If you have donkeys and you want some help on how to manage them better or how to make sure they're getting the care they need, that's what the Donkey Sanctuary is here for.
The Donkey Sanctuary, which is part of Donkey Sanctuary International, has been closed to visitors for obvious reasons this year, but they could do with your helping hand and your support. Go to thedonkeysanctuary.ie if you can make any sort of a donation to help look after these animals.
Thank you. guys. Look at this.
Their eyes have lit up.
There's some peppers here and some apples.
Here you go, Harry. Harry has came last August, and he's a gentleman. He's the boer. And now the girls are coming in.
I'm feeding pigs with Sister Colette Kane at the Dominican Sisters Organic Farm and Farm Shop in Wicklow Town.
This is Nancy, the matriarch. Nancy's been here for a long time, over 8 years. Nancy's with us.
Okay.
So she's really the matriarch.
She's in charge.
She's in charge for sure.
And these are out in the summer. They're in now, obviously, because it's winter months.
Yes, and they're quite happy. You can see there are lots of straw and very content.
The litters that they have, they are then killed and sold in the shop here.
Yes, sold in the shop.
These girls are very happy.
Very. That's good organic food. They must be the best fed pigs in Ireland, I think.
It was in the late 90s that the Dominican Order in Ireland began their project titled Care of the Earth. They were ahead of their time, planting 10,000 trees on their 70-acre farm in Wicklow Town, creating wildlife areas and farming organic vegetables, pigs and a suckler herd. Janice Codd is the farm manager.
They're in since the first week of November.
Mm-hmm.
So you're looking at the suckler cows and their calves, Aberdeen Angus, Belgian Blue Cross, mm-hmm. and a Limousine.
And how many suckler cows do you have?
9 at the moment. The numbers dropped down to only 2 or 3 when I started here because the cows have got very old. So I'm trying to up our numbers and increase our production so that the meat just doesn't go to the shop, but that we will be able to sell it to the factories.
Okay.
So to generate an extra income, not just the income from the farm shop.
And are they certified organic?
They are, yeah.
So you get a premium if you sell them to the factories as well as here?
Yeah, and the Aberdeen Angus ones get the Aberdeen Angus bonus as well on them. So we did do that this year. Some of them did go to the factory and we got on very well with them and they got their bonuses.
The organic farm is just one of the nuns' aims. Understanding our world and respecting it is taught through their eco-theology courses and sabbaticals at their Antarshach Centre, meaning threshold in Irish. What they teach is that we humans are but one very late element to a universe that is nearly 14 billion years old.
The first objective was an area of conservation. The second objective was an organic working farm. And the third objective was to open an ecology centre to educate ourselves and to understand where we have come from. And that involves the whole of the telling of the new story or the story of the origins of the universe. And then how to understand and live sustainably, but also how to pray in this new understanding.
The traditional Christian or Catholic belief would be that was the earth something that you conquered and built on, and it was not, I suppose, highlighted as having importance in itself. So is your thinking different to that?
Yes, we sometimes talk about the old story. That was the way Christians did interpret the creation account in Genesis. There are several accounts of creation in the Bible, but the first account talks about having dominion over the earth. Mm. And sadly, we Christians have taken that to mean domination, that the earth is here for our benefit and that we can do what we like to it. And in fact, Pope Francis said in his encyclical called Laudato Si that actually we got it wrong, that we have come to dominate and not serve and preserve the land. And in that encyclical, he calls everybody to an ecological conversion, mm-hmm. not just Catholic, but all Christians, all humanity, because we realise now the way we have been living is not sustainable. Exploitation, depletion of the earth's resources are not renewable and that it cannot continue. And for future generations, we have to tread gently.
In the former dairy is the convent's farm shop.
So we've got our potatoes, Brussels sprouts, leeks, we have carrots, swedes, cabbages and beetroot.
You've lovely wood-burning stove there, crackling away. And then you've apples, you've cabbages, you've all the imported organic veg, lemons. So you could do your full shop here, really, bananas, everything.
Yes, we have everything that is available. There's a vast selection of organic whole foods as well.
So you've all the dried goods here. You've juices, you've eggs, rice, the tomatoes, passata for making pizzas, sauces.
We've everything. You can do your full weekly shop here.
Is there a new urgency with I mean, we're seeing at the moment under Brazil's Bolsonaro leadership, more burning of the Amazon, a quicker pace to climate change. It's very, very alarming. Is there a new urgency to your message of eco-theology?
Absolutely. We still need to help more people become aware of this. And people like Greta Thunberg have done marvellous work in trying to get humanity to wake up. And this is critical. The rate of climate degradation is speeding up. Mm-hmm. And so for future generations, it's really critical that we try and reduce our carbon footprints and buy into the new ways of energy. Really, it's critical that we change.
Are you hopeful that that change can occur?
We have to stay hopeful. The state of the planet is in crisis. But as Christians, we do believe that God is good and that humanity is good. And we have to remain hopeful that a light will come and that we will turn it around.
You're listening to Countrywide here on RTE Radio 1 with a festive edition of this morning's programme, which includes music and carols from local choirs dotted across the country. You can follow us on Twitter at RTE Countrywide. You're listening to Countrywide here on RTE Radio 1. You can follow us on Twitter at RTE Countrywide. Now we're continuing with our pre-Christmas themed programme featuring music and carols sung by some of the previous winners of the RTE Lyric FM Choirs for Christmas competition since its inception 20 years ago.
Oh, You were playing as well?
I hope it's in.
Are socially distanced with Liam Flanagan on fiddle and Clara Loughlin on fiddle and Cuivín O'Farrell on the guitar, sitting by Christmas lights of the old church in Kilfinnan, and you've been preparing for a performance for the Baltimore Fiddle Fair, Clare.
Yeah, we kind of landed here today around 3 and got the heat on and poured a glass of wine just while we were getting ready, and so we're getting into the kind of Christmas feeling here, and it's been a lovely day.
Tell me about the preparation for Christmas at home for you.
Well, I suppose I'm the oldest of 6 children, so there's always a good crowd. The table would be brought in, the extra table, just to give us all that bit more elbow space. I think I always got to sit at the adult table because probably I helped out more and I was the oldest. So that privileged child.
And was that the only day then that the extra table would come out?
It would have been. It wasn't even a great table. It could have been the coffee table from the living room, do you know, and maybe got a bit of an old tablecloth draped over it. So the youngest would sit there, maybe 2 or 3 of them, you know, and they make it a special glass to maybe feel a bit special on that day as well.
Flanagan, your favourite Christmas present? Like the present?
The BMX bike. That was some job, like, oh. Yeah, that really stands out to me. I don't know what age I was now, maybe 8 or 9, but that was the one, that was the big one that Santa was the man that year. Yeah, for sure.
Can you remember being downstairs and finding it?
I remember as well, yeah. The colour of it was silver and blue handlebars and blue saddle, yeah. Still remember it. Like it was yesterday. But it's a long time ago. Out in the BMX bike all day. Yeah. My mother called me in for the Christmas dinner. And down with the dinner and back out again on the bike with the gang, the boys and that, you know. Yeah. Up the great divilment. Can't go into that now.
There always seems to be a frenzied activity on Christmas Eve, do you know, getting the spuds peeled and the turkey stuffed. It seemed to just be a bit of a panic. Now, I hope I'm not dumping my mother in it, but yeah, it's a bit of a panic. And I think I've gone the complete opposite way now that I'm making my own Christmas dinner for my own family. I tend to be very organised because I like to relax on Christmas Day, because it shouldn't be the day where I end up doing all the slogging, because I want to enjoy it as well. I get my stuffing made in advance and into the freezer, do the red cabbage in advance and into the freezer, even parboil the potatoes and have them in the freezer so I can just take them out and roast them on the day. Maybe 3 weeks before, do you know, when the ingredients start arriving in the supermarkets. And I like to make up a few Christmas puddings as well and give a few to the neighbours and friends, you know, and family that call. Nice.
Liam, you grew up as an only child. So when the BMX bike came out, you knew it was definitely your bike. Now you're part of a bigger family.
Yeah, I've 5 boys at home. Yeah, so Christmas will sure be exciting. John is 12, Gerard is 11, Keane is 9, Michal is 5, and Liam is your 9 months.
They're all of an age to absolutely treasure Christmas.
It is complete madness altogether. Christmas morning might could be anything from 5 a.m. They'd be waking up that bit early, rushing down the stairs, and to be like a sea of wrapping paper and like an obstacle course for most of the day. Yeah, good fun, yeah.
Daddy worked outside the home. At Christmas then, of course, he wouldn't be out working. He'd just be he'd be there during the day, kind of, oh, daddy's here, you know, push me on the swing, do this, do that. And mum was always there, but there's that feeling of togetherness, because everyone is here. And there's, you know, maybe extra firewood for the fire, and there's no expense spared in creating the lovely kind of homely togetherness atmosphere that's in the house. Mum and Dad, everybody's happy because all the children have new toys to play with, so we're all kept occupied. There is that lovely warmth, and not just from the fire, there's a warmth of togetherness and family in the house at Christmas. It's lovely.
I suppose just making time for them, you know? Just having less emphasis on walking, do you know? Getting home a bit earlier and simple little things.
I'm Edwina Gokian. I am a dancer and I work with children, and I do lots of projects based in the community, and yeah, just basically a trad artist in general.
Just tell me a little bit about this project and what's going to happen this morning. We're standing outside St. Patrick's Hospital in Carrick-on-Shannon. What are we going to do this morning?
There are 6 children coming this morning from Leitrim, and they are playing music and singing and dancing, and they are dressed up as the mummers. So some are dressed in straw, but they're all dressed in disguise, following the mummers' tradition that nobody would recognise them, but also following in the tradition to bring good luck to everybody for the new year and bring light at the end of the darkness in winter.
And so they are going to stand outside the building with you and then make sure that the older people inside the nursing home can look out and see the kids dancing and playing.
Exactly, yeah, we have it all organised that all the people that would be really interested in music and song and dance and might even dance along with us inside will be at the windows to greet us. We'll be out right up until the 6th of January. We'll be knocking on people's doors, they'll come out and we'll stand back and we'll play a few tunes, we'll have some chats. It's been a real eye-opener, really, to how the older generation feel during this year. But many of them have danced along with us, sang, clapped and cried and just, you know, wanted to chat. And that's been the most important part of this, beyond the music and dance, was actually just talking to them. They would nearly get into the car and come with you up to their neighbours to see how they're all getting along. It's been lovely.
Hello. Thanks for coming up. Happy Christmas.
We're just in front of the glass windows here at the side of St. Patrick's Hospital, and we have lots of lovely people waving out at us.
Okay, so if we go with the first step, and then will we let Dahi start all the way down there? One, two, 2 steps.
What's your name?
Dahi Conley.
And where are you from, Dahi?
Kerrigan, County Leitrim.
And describe what you're wearing this morning.
This morning I'm wearing these dancing shoes. Don't know where I got them. I got them from a girl in my class. Her brother owned them, so I got them for free. Then I have these ripped jeans, which are quite good for farmers. Like,
Dahi, you've just been dancing, and there was about 10 older people there,
yep,
at the other side of the glass watching you. You made them very happy.
Yeah, they were quite happy. That's what I like to do, make people happy.
And why do you like to make people happy, Dahi?
I just like to make people happy because it just gets their feelings up. And now during COVID, they're very scared because their family can't come in. They have a better life then.
And you're interested in people, aren't you? I can
see that. Yeah. Mostly interested in tractors. So if you see a tractor, just ask me what type it is and I'll tell you what it is.
We've come down the road, Edwina, from the nursing home. We're going to visit an older lady now.
Yes, we're calling to Mary Degnan. And in the Observer last week, a number was there for people to contact us if they wanted us to call, and Mary is one of these ladies that rang in.
Hello.
Hello, Mary.
Hello, nice to
Lovely to see you all.
It's lovely to see you.
Hi.
We've missed you.
Hello, oh my goodness, you've got a huge
Hello.
Crowd.
How are you?
Good, Hello. Thank you. Hello, everybody. Hello.
Ah, how are you keeping?
I told my neighbours are looking out the window at you.
Oh, good. Hello.
Thank you. Yeah, these lovely children. Hello.
How are you?
Hi, Angela. Hi. Oh, gosh, there's a great crowd.
We'll go for reels.
Brilliant, absolutely. So I'll kind of do to Edwina and her group and us and all the people involved.
Absolutely fantastic. But it's a great revival, you know. It's great to see it.
Oh, especially this year. After
yeah, everybody had been through so much, like, you know, really frightened of everything.
Yeah.
I mean, my own, my kids are gone, and, you know, it's lovely.
She wore no jewels, no costly diamonds. No paint, no powder, no, none at all. She wore a bonnet with a ribbon on it, and around her shoulder was the Galway shawl.
So three sisters in front of me. What's your name? How old are you?
I'm Anna McGrath and I'm 14.
What's your name?
I'm Aoife McGrath and I'm 8.
I'm Shauna McGrath and I'm 12.
Anna, you have an astonishing voice.
Thank you.
How long have you been singing?
I've been singing since I'm around 6, 8 or 7. And I've always been singing at home, you know, with the family. You know, if we used to have a radio in our car, so we used to always have to sing together.
Yeah, it's incredible. Doesn't your sister have a lovely voice?
Yeah.
Are you looking forward to Christmas?
Yeah.
What are you going to get?
I'm going to get, like, stuff for my dog and, like, a surprise and stuff.
What would you like to get for your dog?
Like a lead, because it's kind of ripped a bit.
And so. What's your dog called?
Izzy.
Izzy. So a lead for Izzy, that'd be great, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
You take Izzy on a walk.
Yeah.
And what about yourself? You're a great dancer as well.
Thank you.
Yeah, you enjoy doing it?
Yeah, because it makes, like, with the older generation happy to see, like, people, because it's been tough the whole year, like, without their family around.
Well, they're very lucky to have all of you to do what you do and make them happy.
Thank you.
So we're at our last stop. We're calling to a lovely man called John. His daughter gave us a call from Florida to call to him. Are you right?
Yep.
Hey, John. Sing all day, so he was saving this one for you.
Very good.
Thanks, Tom.
Put on your only breeches and your coat of emerald grey. But take off your hat, me darling Pat, and put on your old cobbie. For today's our golden wedding, and I'll have you all to know just how we looked when we were wed 50 years ago.
Happy Christmas.
Happy Christmas.
Happy Christmas.
Happy New Year.
Oh, you made our Christmas.
Oh, yeah. Great.
Finally.
Happy Christmas. Happy Christmas.
Happy
Christmas.
Bye, and Happy New Year.
It's an All-Ireland final on Christmas week. Did you ever hear the like? And in a desperate attempt to while away the never-ending time, Championship man has tried to keep up his usual All-Ireland final routine. Bought the local papers on Tuesday, had them devoured before the 9 o'clock news. Got the car serviced on Wednesday. Oh, you're a mighty man to follow them all down the years, the mechanic told him, playing along, I guess. And to Roundy for the haircut on Thursday. Another hour and a half put down there, discussing how the full forward line might be the best we've had yet. And a queue down the street when he came out. Yesterday evening, hoovered the car just before it got dark. But this morning, he doesn't know what to do. The pretense is over. He won't be travelling. For the first time ever. He's bought the programme online and has it studied in full already. He has the flag up on the chimney and the figurines painted green and red. but there isn't a lot left to do now to kill the hours. It's not a day for starting anything big, more of a tipping around kind of a day. I'm sure it might come wet yet anyway. If he could, if he was allowed, he'd hit for Croke Park just to watch them going in and to listen to the noise while the game was going on. He'd happily settle for the radio commentary. He got the app on his phone during the first lockdown, just to sample the whole damn day above. Nothing beats being there, they said, and they were right. It was a long year, but it could have been longer. The crowd of young lads playing for the club reached the county semi-final, but he never got to a single game. Between Facebook Live, WhatsApp, the local radio, and fellas ringing him, he was able to stay in touch, and that was something. The county team came along great. He was delighted with them. He saw Tommy Conroy ducking into McHugh's at some stage along the way and nearly swerved into a parked car. He didn't think he'd ever seen a finer specimen of a young fellow, and a lean jaw on him like you'd use to cut paper, and a bounding stride like an Olympic high jumper. Ah, they're right, he said to herself when he came home that evening. They're definitely right. He's been living off those scraps all year. He's managed to figure out how the podcasts and the blogs work, and they keep him half right. But it's been an uneasy truce, for Championship Man is a tactile man. See, touch, listen, smell and taste. Big days out appeal to all of his senses. He'll watch it at home, in the good room, while the rest of them are in the kitchen glued to the other telly. They do too much shouting for his liking. He likes to weigh it up a bit. See how they're moving as they come out. He loves to see Aidan O'Shea sucking in great big gulps into the lungs. And when he spots Killian and the serious face on him, he gets a great jolt of reassurance. Take care, he thinks. Take care, might it be. COVID's a curse, but we're still alive. Perhaps never more alive. Mighty, mighty, if they could just win the toss and the throw-in, you'd never know. You'd just never know.
On this morning's programme, you heard reports from Suzanne Campbell, Ella McSweeney, Grey Heron Media and me, Damien O'Reilly. We also had a preview of this evening's All-Ireland Senior Football Final between Dublin and Mayo from Championship Man Liam Horan. And in Ella's report, the musicians you heard were Ava Glancy on the fiddle and Aaron Glancy on the box. The carols and music were performed by some of the past winners of the RTE Lyric FM Choirs for Christmas from over the past 20 years and were recorded at UCH Limerick last year with the Irish Chamber Orchestra conducted by Desmond Early. They were 16-year-old Glenstall Abbey student Luke Nicholas singing Ave Maria, composed by Limerick musicians Sean O'Doherty and Billy Nagel. You also heard from the Shoda Chamber Choir and Candet Children's Choir from Limerick, conducted by Mary Keary Scanlon. St. Joseph's Primary School Choir Tipperary Town, conducted by Helen Culbert. Ardu Vocal Ensemble from Dublin. And the Carrickfergus Grammar School Choir, conducted by Edward Craig. That's all we have time for this week. We don't have a programme on St. Stephen's Day, but Marty Morrissey will be bringing you the first countrywide of 2021 in 2 weeks' time. Until I talk to you again, have a safe and happy Christmas.